Thanks, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
The next case on the docket is case number 13244, an application of Halic Operating NDLLC for an order amending the field rules for the Dickinson Lodge Bowl Pool. Would all interested parties please come forward?
Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 1855, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm supposed to have some witnesses here on this matter, but I don't see them yet, so can I just push this to the bottom of the docket?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Possible that we had a late flight or something.
We'll just continue the hearing then to later in the day. We'll now return to a case that we put aside earlier today this morning. And so the next case on the docket is on page one of the docket. It's case number 13244, an application of Halic Operating NDLLC for an order amending the field rules for the Dickinson Lodge Bowl Pool. Would all interested parties please come forward?
Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 1855, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing case 13244 on behalf of Halic Operating NDLLC. We intend to call one witness in this matter. He's present with us in the hearing room. He's a geologist, and his name is Glenn Landry.
Mr. Landry, can you raise your right hand for me? Do you promise to tell the truth in this hearing?
I do.
Thank you.
Glenn, would you state your full name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
Glenn Michael Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y.
And Glenn, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I work with Halic Energy, and I'm a geologist.
Okay. And have you testified before the commission previously?
I have not.
What I'd like you to do, Glenn, is just very briefly provide for us your educational background and work experience.
Well, I graduated from the University of Montana in 1973 and graduate work in 74. And I've worked in hard rock over the years and oil and gas since 1978. And I suppose I've worked for about five different oil companies. Williston Basin as a consulting geologist, and much of Wyoming and Montana.
And in preparation for today's hearing, Glenn, that has been docketed for case one, excuse me, that has been docketed as case 13244, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant geologic matters?
I have.
Okay. And have you also prepared or had prepared under your control and supervision some exhibits that you intend to sponsor?
Yes, we do.
Mr. Examiner, we'd offer the further testimony of this witness is out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Glenn, let's turn to the packet of exhibits that I've distributed to the commission staff, and we'll just skip the first page because it's just a summary of what we're requesting. And let's turn to page two, which has been previously marked as a figure one. Can you tell us what that is, please?
Yes, this is an earlier map of the spotting reef occurrence in the field. And the famous reefs there, of course, would be High Line and the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit where the discovery was, Elan being a little farther spread. And there's some updates, of course, since this has happened.
Okay, let's go on to the next page of the exhibits, figure two. Can you tell us what that is?
This is the area that we would like to drill, not necessarily on a star. We may want to actually drill in the northwest quarter and directional drill in towards where the star is. The well in the corner there is a shallow test, so that is not a evaluation of the lodgepole.
And this area that you have the arrow pointed to, that is the north half of section
six
of 13996, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and I think portion of that north half is in the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit, which would be depicted on the next exhibit, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, let's talk about just a little bit about figure three. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, figure three was based upon actually the illustration on the following page and the control over where the reef occurrence is in the Dickinson Lodgepole Unit. So that boundary was based upon the interpretations of the production to the north.
And the specific request, as I understand it, Glenn, is that you're requesting that all of the north half of Section 6, less the lands that are in the Dickinson Lodgepole unit, be established as a spacing unit for your proposed well. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you're requesting that you be allowed to drill a well to the lodgepole anywhere within the north half, so long as it's less than 500 feet, excuse me, not less than 500 feet to the spacing unit boundary. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so once again, where the star is located isn't necessarily where the well will be drilled. You'll probably start in the northwest and try to find the reef.
Right.
Because the reefs can sometimes be elusive. Is that correct?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay, let's go to the next exhibits. We have figure 4 and 5 on the next page. Let's start with figure 4. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, that is the structure that was originally drilled by Conoco, which inadvertently struck the reef. So it is a nice paleo structure. Reefs tend to grow on them. And it's fairly good well control with some seismic. And it definitely, the unit boundary was predicated on this map, I believe.
And this particular figure 4, the structure map, this isn't something you prepared. This is something that was prepared by Conoco in relationship to their request to establish the Dickinson Lodgepole unit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then let's go to figure 5. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, figure 5 then was a map to show the productive area of that reef that exists on the structural mount. So that was the best interpretation, and again, the contours do fall inside the unit boundary.
Okay, and it's your understanding that the reason the unit did not include all of the north half of Section 6 is that by virtue of the structure map and the map of the mound, is that it did not include all of the north half. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But you believe there is another mound in the north half of Section 6. Is that
we
correct?
We do believe that.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit then, Glenn. Tell me what that is.
Well, it's a bit of a blow-up, so it's a bit of a cartoon, if you might. Our photo interpretation lends us to believe that we have a mound where we're locating that dark orange area. So this is the reason we leased this ground. We think there is a mound here.
And is it your interpretation, not necessarily from this depiction, but from the work that you've done in this area,
yes,
that most of the mound would be located in the north half of Section 6?
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
And that's why you're requesting that the north half of 6, less the lands that are in the Dickinson Lodgepole unit, be established as a spacing unit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that you'd be allowed to drill a well not less than 500 feet from the boundaries.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit. Glenn, tell us what that is.
This would be our interpretation of what we would believe the mound to represent. We think that the mound is a small reef, and we are hoping that it will represent just what we try to present here.
And do you believe it's a separate accumulation, or is it part of the mound that's in the Dickinson Lodgepole unit?
Well, we think that this is a separate mound. We think that Conoco had it right the first go around on their interpretation, and since that time, the difference is we're trying to integrate photo interpretive work, Kelch blotter work, and it's from that kind of work that we come to the conclusion we have a mount here. We feel strongly about that.
Now, you've testified several times that part of the request is, I'll call it a flexible location, allowing the well to be drilled anywhere within the proposed spacing unit boundary,
right,
not less than 500 feet from the proposed spacing unit boundary. In terms of where you want to land the well, maybe you could discuss that a little bit in terms of landing it on the top and why it's important to have that flexibility.
Well, we'd like to. We know that working in the top of the reef is most important. But if we were to drill horizontal, we are going to have to watch and make sure how much reef growth we really have. We really don't know. So it's important that we come into this thing In the top 30 feet, I would say.
And when you say horizontal, I mean, you use the term horizontal and directional sort of interchangeably, is that right?
That's correct.
And you're talking about a vertical well that might be directional in nature, not
yes.
a horizontal well as I would think of it.
That's
is that right?
correct.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to the next figure, Glenn, figure 8. Can you tell me what that is?
This is our best interpretation, kind of a low and a high for the drainage area from the closest well to the north inside the other unit. And we actually could have given ourselves a little more credit on the high side. I do believe the Armstrong property is 11%. But the drainage area would fall easily inside the boundary that is drawn in the unit. So we think that we're safe here. We also think that, you know, there's more growth and probably its own reef anyhow. So, but under a worst-case scenario, we haven't even been drained.
Okay. And what are you thinking in terms of EURs from a successful well drilled in the north half of Section 6?
Well, I would like to be in that range of about 1 million barrels.
Okay.
That's what we'd hope.
But you have on here cumulative production of approximately 4 million barrels?
That's correct. That would be the nearest production, and we would like to think we can do that. We're just trying to be a little bit conservative.
Okay. Now, you haven't offered any economics in terms of what it would cost to drill and complete a well in the lodgepole. Can you provide some testimony for that for us without
yes.
an exhibit? Yeah.
We feel our dry hole cost is going to be around 1.1 to 1.5 million. And we feel that if it were a 1,000-barrel-a-day well, like some of the others in the area, or some of the others far exceed that, we would expect a payout of in the range of 28 days, and a multiple on return of perhaps 30 to 40 to 1 over the life. The expected life to be 10 years. It seems that most of these lodgepole wells are pretty well produced out. They still produce beyond 10 years, but for economics, we use 10 years.
Okay. And in your opinion...
Sorry. I'll turn that off. I forgot to turn it off. Sorry.
In your opinion, since this is a separate reef, is there any way to recover this oil from the Dickinson lodgepole unit?
Say again?
Because, in your opinion, this is a separate reef. Is
right.
there any way that you can recover this oil?
Oh, there's no way.
Okay, you have to drill the well. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes,
okay.
we have to.
So, in your opinion, is the requested relief something that is going to prevent waste, protect relative rights, and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Examiner, that's all the questions I have. That's all the exhibits we have. So we would offer the exhibits... And just one more thing, there is a little bit of urgency with respect to this order. The applicant is going to be drilling a well prior to this one, and that's going to be happening relatively soon. It's my understanding the rig is moving as we speak. So if we could have an order in this matter in the next 20 to 30 days, that would be very helpful in fitting in with Helix's plans to drill this well. They've already proceeded with their city permit. I believe that was approved by the City of Dickinson this morning. So once again, if we can get this in the next 20 to 30 days, it'll fit very well within the drilling plans that Helix has.
Okay. The documents we received into the record, the exhibits we received into the record. Are there any questions from staff?
Glenn, was the city permit received this morning, or was the hearing?
It was reviewed this morning. There was a meeting this morning.
Okay, and was it approved?
The first step, as I understand, was approved, and I guess there's a second meeting?
So I understand it's been approved. We yeah. could call another witness if you want to ask specifics.
Okay. I was just yeah. trying to get a little more information.
Yeah, yeah, they sounded very positive about it. It was the feedback we got this morning, and that everything was approved. But I do think there's another layer.
The well that you're talking about drilling now, is that also a Halleck well?
Yes.
Okay. What well is that?
That would be the one we're going to drill first.
Yeah.
Would be the Halleck
5-22. 522, what's the name of it?
Halleck 5-22.
But that's not in this immediate area here.
Well, we're not far, a couple miles, okay. Maybe three.
I'm looking at figure three. There's a couple wells there. The Walton that you indicated before, it has a file number of 13595 here. That's a logical test that was considered dry, correct?
595 is dry, yes. And also, we have some...
But Glenn, before I leave that,
yes.
Did they encounter any mound in that well?
No.
Okay. And you were going to say something else about it?
Well, there was... we're getting some input from one consultant to us that they felt that's perhaps a fault in there as well. So... it's worth further review. That fault might set something up in there for us, not against us.
And then the well in the southeast corner, quarter of section 6, you've got it listed there as 13775. That's our file number for the Shefflow well.
Mm-hmm.
That was also a dry hole in the lodgepole, correct?
Correct.
And did they find any mound in that well?
No, sir. Not to my knowledge.
And on your map that you've got on figure 6, you're showing something, some type of mound on both of those wells. What are you inferring that to be?
Well, in our photo interpretation, we have a reflection, surface reflection, that far out, which tells us don't drill the surface reflection that far out. We also have a large mound in the center, which is a good surface feature. But we are honoring our observations of this reflection that far out, even though the rim is not commercial.
And can you elaborate at all on your photo process?
Some of it is quite proprietary, but it's the original work was done by Donald Anderson, a photogeologist since 1957. It was his interpretation that we're looking at features in here that are reefs that he'd seen early in his career. And starting from Mr. Anderson's work, we've expanded and gone to more sophisticated photo work. And I'm hanging all my future work on that.
So are you talking about surface photos of some type?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in case of Mr. Anderson, he was using what's called Kelchplotter, which preceded the computer and is very, very good, but very, very hard to do. It's all handwork, very slow.
The existing mound that you're showing on figure 6, right, you know, the Dickinson mound there, why is that one in a yellowish color?
Well, it's just a different feature.
Why is there different colors, though, versus the one in section 6? Is it some
We wanted to make
interpretation?
Sure.
Or, I mean,
no other reason.
Photo,
just a moment.
Is the photo showing you something different in the two mounds, or did you just color it different to distinguish between the two?
I was just coloring to distinguish the two, but the mound... our mound drops down in a way, and their mound is more reflected by the surface feature. This surface feature under illustration, here it is. Under figure 4, there is a reflection of that rim to the north. So, we're trying with that yellow to reflect the rim of that structural feature. In other words, that feature is reflected at surface as well.
With the technique that you're using...
But that's structural, not a mound. There's a difference.
The technique you're using, Glenn, does it correspond to where the existing mounds are now without any changes in your interpretation?
Well, I really rather not.
You got to let him finish his question before
I'm sorry.
Answer.
I'm sorry. My mind's going too fast. Well, I'd really rather not expound on that, if I might not.
Okay. We typically had a 660-foot setback from spacing unit boundaries on the lodge pole.
Mr. Hicks, if that's something that you deem to be more appropriate, we wouldn't have any objection to a 660 setback.
Okay, we'll take administrative notice of those other orders and see if that was amended.
Okay.
Have you looked at the surface location where you have your star?
Yes,
your proposed
we
location.
Have.
You had indicated that you may not be able to drill that vertically.
Well, we're just keeping our options.
Just moving again. You just got to let him answer, finish the question, and then you can
Sorry.
Answer. Yep. It's hard to do if
Bad
you're not
habit.
What features are located at that point at the surface?
A mount, a hill.
Okay. And if you directionally drilled this well, would you drill it from the original Walton site that was shown as a dry hole on your figure 3?
It would probably be due west. Yeah, sounds good.
Would you drill it from there?
Yeah, not from the dry hole, no. We would be south of that. Right now, top of my head, that we would probably be from the midline. We'd probably come up 660.
Is it critical that you drill to a bottom hole location where that star is located?
Well, we really haven't decided for sure, but that's my favorite.
And do you plan to run directional surveys from the surface of the ground all the way down, or
sure.
At what point would you start?
We can do that. In other words, your concern is we didn't stay inside our boundary, or
the purpose of the question was to see how you were going to account for the bottom hole location of that well. If you're not going to survey anything down to kickoff point, then you must not be real concerned about exactly where you're located, because you won't know.
Well, I know. I'm pretty good.
So
that's a lot of wells out there. I know where I am in the hole. I'll know where I am.
And how do you determine where you're at geologically?
We extrapolate from the beds above. If we've got nice layer cake geology there, we'll have no problem with markers.
I'm talking about where you're at physically located, not geologically located.
Okay. Well, where we've run horizontals, we're always running surveys constantly to know where we're at. So in a directional, we'd probably be doing the same thing.
Is a directional survey usually run in the surface hole?
No.
So you've got 2,000 feet that you're not going to know where you're at unless you run directional surveys in the well before you run your surface casing, or if you run a gyro. Mm-hmm. So that was the purpose of my question.
I see. Well, we can defer that to our drilling soup. He's here, Mr. Halleck himself, and he would be able to discuss that better with you.
Anything further on this case?
Nothing further.
That'll conclude the hearing then on case number 13244. The case will be taken under advisement by the commission.
Thank you.